This is the TTY Dialer, episode 36, for the week of July 2nd through July 8th. Hi there. Welcome to another weekly companion to WRVO's nightly old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Sunday to Saturday, we broadcast golden age of radio shows like comedy, drama, mystery, action, romance, true history, adventure, and more, live on the air from 10 to midnight and also streaming live at our website, as you probably know, at WRVO.org. And this weekly podcast brings you radio history, fun with sound from the past, and a look at the shows coming up for the week on Tune to Yesterday.
Now let's listen to two businessmen talking together in the office. One has just stopped at the other's desk.
Grand morning, eh, George? How's it going?
Oh, so-so. Wouldn't brag.
Oh, what's wrong? Out late?
No, it's not that. I've been in bed every night by 10:30. Only, I don't know, along about 11 every morning, I don't feel so hot.
Say, maybe you need a little of the advice my doctor gave me. I got the feeling that way myself a while ago, so I went to him. You know what he told me to do?
What?
Told me to cut down a bit on my dinner at night and add to my breakfast. He said the morning's when you need the energy, at breakfast, not at night when you just sit around. I've been eating a real breakfast for a solid month now, like pancakes and log cabin syrup. And boy, I feel like a million.
Maybe I'll try that, Fred. Gosh, it's a long time since I looked at a pancake for breakfast. Sounds good.
And friends, thousands of people, busy people facing an active day, are cutting down on dinner and eating a real breakfast. You see, they've learned that folks who are active during the day need the foundation, the energy a good breakfast supplies. And naturally, that means pancakes and plenty of log cabin syrup real often. Because that's America's favorite real breakfast, just as log cabin syrup is America's favorite fine table syrup. Be sure to listen later on in this program for log cabin syrup's valuable offer to you.
A moment from the sponsor of the Jack Haley Show, known at that time as the Log Cabin Jamboree. It was a mix of music and jokes that changed commercial hands a couple of times from its start with the syrup in 1938 to the Wonder Show, sponsored by Wonder Bread, the next year. And after a three-year hiatus, Haley came back, supported by Seal Test Frozen Foods and a show called the Seal Test Village Store. And throughout the show's run, Haley was appearing in movies, with his comedic timing honed from his days in vaudeville, where he met and became close friends with radio star Fred Allen, who would have him as a guest on his radio show from time to time.
Say, remember when we both went into vaudeville together?
Oh, I sure do. Remember that rooming house we used to live in, Mother Shapiro's? Rooms 50 cents a night?
With a door on the room, it was 75.
And those rats in Mother Shapiro's, were they big? One rat was a bellboy.
If you didn't tip him, he'd eat a hole in your bag.
Allen would also tip his hat to Jack while supposedly addressing a piece of mail on the show or a new voice by calling them Mr. Jacob Haley of Newton Highlands, Massachusetts. Later in life, Haley remarked that he probably wouldn't be remembered for his radio work, his friendship with Fred Allen, or his days in vaudeville, but most likely for his role as the Tin Man in the movie The Wizard of Oz.
When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kind of human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart.
Good luck getting that song out of your head. Coming up this Monday night on Tune to Yesterday at 10, it's comedy from the Milton Berle Show and an episode of Fibber McGee and Molly. Then True History for an hour. We'll be bringing you gossip columnist Hedda Hopper. Also a newscast from Howard K. Smith and an excerpt of the Comic Weekly Men. I don't know if you remember, about 30 podcasts ago I had featured him. You can hear an excerpt of the show. All from the same day, those programs from April 1st, 1951. Then this Tuesday night, it's the Tune to Yesterday Independence Day Special. 2 hours of shows to commemorate the holiday. At 10 o'clock, it's an episode of You Are There, featuring Philadelphia, July 4th, 1776. Then the powerful program Columbia Presents Corwin.
What do you suppose our men are fighting for anyway?
Oh, ideals, I suppose.
Oh, chicken in every Hottentot pot. Oh, that's a fine ideal for a young American.
Well, look, we're fighting to get it over with, and that's all.
Look, I don't begin to understand your attitude about idealism. You and your father seem to think that it's a little embarrassing to be found dead or alive with an ideal. Sure, the Tehran agreement's visionary. But so was our Declaration of Independence. Did you ever stop to think of that? Supposing they sat around at Philadelphia 150 years ago making cracks about long hairs and visionaries.
But that's different. The Declaration of Independence involved one country in 1776, and the Tehran thing involves a bunch of countries another time.
Of you. We were practically 13 separate countries back in 1776.
At 11 o'clock, it's an episode of Inheritance called They Proclaim Liberty, then the Quiz Kids celebrating Independence Day from 1951. Hear these shows Monday, July 3rd from 10 to midnight, and Tuesday, July 4th, of course, at the same time, live on the air on WRVO, or stream it as it happens at WRVO.org. This Saturday, July 8th in 1951, a gravelly voice that had the power to fool the criminal underworld made its debut on NBC. It was the mystery program, The Whisperer.
The Whisperer. The Whisperer. The Whisperer.
Though it was only broadcast for 13 weeks in the 5 o'clock hour on Sundays on NBC, The Whisperer has had an unusual staying power for generations of audiences. Radio and later television actor Carlton Young was heard as an energetic young attorney known as Philip Gault, who led a seemingly hard-working life with girlfriend Ellen Norris, played by Betty Moran. But when the doors were closed and Gault was next to a telephone, he became an orchestrator of crimes, which were rarely successful because he would be the one to stop them. Using a strange and unnerving whisper voice he developed after an accident, he would use his contacts in the crime world, which he called from prosecuting those people, to stage acts of violence and heists. In the story, surgery repaired his voice so he could switch back and forth between the two at will, making it sort of an audible mask that he would put on, which drew listeners into the hoax when they heard his freakish whisper when he contacted the element known as the Syndicate to commit murder, extortion, or blackmail. And they were schemes that were supposedly passed down from an even bigger boss than the Whisperer himself, which the Syndicate seemed to believe week after week. Here's an example of one of those calls.
Hello, New York. Jordan given instructions. Will advise later.
Aha!
Aha yourself. What's in that pretty head of yours?
Brain. I just figured out something.
Yeah, what?
Well, under ordinary circumstances, when you give out with that horrible voice of your alter egos, you instruct someone to kill someone else.
And?
And then you have to break your neck to stop the killing you started in the first place.
In the second place, sweetheart, the Syndicate starts it.
Well, anyway, our whole evening is ruined.
Okay, so...
So, tonight I notice you didn't give instructions to have anybody killed. Ergo, that means you don't have to involve yourself in that horrible Syndicate business. And you can devote your full attention to... paying attention to me.
But, Ellen...
Yes?
It'll be a pleasure.
As you can imagine, their evening turned out to be less than normal. For a show without a sponsor in the capacity of a summer replacement, the talent was pretty high on the show and featured respected radio actors like Herb Ellis, Larry Dobkin, William Conrad, and the announcer who would later become a world-famous comedian, Don Rickles. Here's some sound from their first episode.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Gault. I've been waiting for more than an hour.
Sorry if I've kept you waiting, Scarelli.
I'll take your gun. Thank you. Come on. As you can hear, my party is in progress.
So it would seem.
In here.
Very substantial.
It's the meat storage vault. However, the walls are thin enough that you can hear the happenings. And later... Well, we'll discuss that later. Now, if you'll excuse me, my guests are waiting.
Mr. Gault?
You all right, Scrappy?
I'm half frozen. I was afraid you wouldn't get here in time.
Has he passed out any marijuana?
No, but he's getting ready to. Hey, listen.
Are you kids having fun? All right, then, I've got something you're going to really go for. Everybody step up and get a free cigarette.
Oh, no, we got to do something. Those kids don't know what's about to happen.
The police may be here by now.
Police? You got a signal?
Two gunshots.
Oh, you're going to get a gun.
Move this empty cardboard carton over there while I break this window with this chicken.
Chicken?
It's frozen, hard as a hammer.
Here's the carton. What now?
Your belt.
All right, but why?
I'll double it. Now stand back. I've heard they do this on the radio. I hope it wasn't just publicity.
It worked!
Oh, no! Where are you?
Over here.
away.
Refrigerator.
Or open the door. Scarelli must have got away.
Here.
You. Thanks. I'll stay back.
He's getting rid of the evidence.
You over there, move.
Scarelli.
What?
Drop that gun.
Go.
Drop it, Scarelli. All right, everybody, it's all over. The police will be here.
And take over.
Ten cents.
Well, this is a haul. Outside, we grab the drivers and the marijuana, and inside, we find Philip Galt, boy murderer.
That man has narcotics on his body, and he shot first, Lieutenant.
You wish?
I have 30 witnesses to prove it.
We'll pass that for now. How'd you know about this unless you're implicated in the marijuana business?
My client, Scrappy Wrist, told me.
Oh, is that right, Scrappy?
Yes, sir.
Then you must be implicated in this, too.
No, sir, I...
My client is innocent of any wrong intent. He was coerced.
No use, Mr. Galt. I can't take it any longer. I killed a man.
In that case, Scrappy, you're under arrest.
Lieutenant, before you do a foolish thing, can we see the prisoners?
Well, it won't help Scrappy, but... Morrison, bring in the prisoners.
Do any of them look familiar, Scrappy?
What? Hey, can't be. It's the man I ran over.
There's the man you thought you ran over. He and Scarelli pulled the old insurance gag. This man screamed, acted as though the car hit him and fell.
Yeah, but I helped put him in the trunk.
And we're too excited to notice that he wasn't even injured.
All right. You, what's your name?
Ant.
Is this true? Talk up.
Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say.
You said enough. Well, Galt, looks like you're clean. What are you going to do with these kids?
I'd suggest that you take them to the station, Lieutenant. Call their parents and show them how narrowly Central City averted a tragedy. You might also suggest that the PTA show some of the fine educational films available on marijuana... and how it leads to a worse addiction. Tonight's event should prove that it can happen here. Only an alerted and enlightened public can prevent its further spread.
Phil, now that it's over, can I please have that soda?
Just as soon as I contact the syndicate. Just take a minute. I've already given the operator... Shh.
Yes. Central City reporting.
Go ahead, Central City.
Scarelli bungled. The entire gang captured. The public is vigorously aroused. I advise that present plans be discontinued.
We will take such action. For new instructions, call Chicago at midnight.
Chicago at midnight.
The creator of The Whisperer, Dr. Stetson Humphrey, who is ironically also a voice coach, tried to sell a movie version of The Whisperer in the 1960s, but according to record, there weren't any takers. Now, this is assuming that they heard him loud and clear. This Wednesday, July 5th at 10 o'clock, Adventure for an Hour from the story The Night on Red Mountain on Suspense, then Bold Venture from 1951 with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. After that, it's Broadway from the Theater Guild on the Air adapting the play Little Women. And this Thursday, July 6th at 10, it's Horror from broadcasts of The Hermit's Cave and Lights Out.
About 6, I think.
Getting so dark.
Maybe if we could turn on the lights, he'd be gone.
Hmm?
Yeah, comes from the dark. He can't stand the light. I've got to get to the light switch. I've got to.
No, don't do it, Sam.
But I...
Sam, don't. No, if he touches you, I gotta.
At 11 this Thursday night, science fiction from Dimension X and The Merchant of Venus on X-1 from 1957. Tune in for these shows on Wednesday, July 5th and Thursday, July 6th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. A comedian who is best known as the Queen of the Hillbillies or Queen of Corn, Judy Canova, made her national network radio debut this Thursday, July 6th in 1943 to an audience that already adored her from her previous outings on orchestra leader Paul Whiteman's show and with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Before radio, she was in a comedy and singing act called The Three Canovas with her sister Annie and brother Zeke, which eventually caught the attention of Rudy Vallee, who invited them to his radio show that drew tens of millions of listeners in 1933. And at that time, if you landed a guest spot on his show and did pretty well, the sky was the limit for your career. Now, Judy and her siblings became regulars on Paul Whiteman's show in the mid-30s and segued into making movies at Warner Brothers. By the time Judy made her full-time radio premiere, she had been cast in 13 films and many guest spots, providing the momentum for what would be her successful radio show. She really was a unique talent on the air on both CBS and NBC in her 10 years there, with her show following a simple variety show format, except for the fact that Judy herself provided most of the variety. From her opening jokes and skits that featured a revolving cast of characters, often stereotyped portrayals of the slow-moving Southerners Ma and Pa, which she helped to voice, to her unusual Ozark Mountain-inspired renditions of popular songs of the day, where she showed her range and talent at yodeling. Now, speaking of voices, Canova's program employed one of the best in the radio and cartoon business, Mel Blanc, who played a parody in the style of his Speedy Gonzales character, to Gerald Moore, whose deep voice lent itself to his character of a musclehead, and future television producer and a successful one, Sheldon Leonard, who played her boyfriend Joe that was constantly falling short of her expectations. It was these voices and her songs that had over 16 million listeners at their radios for her program by the end of its second year on the air, which would eventually earn her the title of Queen of the Air, at least in 1949, where she was voted the most listened to female on radio, which was ahead of talent like Lucille Ball on My Favorite Husband, singer Kate Smith's popular show, even Marion Jordan of the famous Fibber McGee and Molly program. Here's some sound from one of many Judy Canova shows.
Well, Judy is rapidly becoming convinced that Humphrey Cooper, the handsome movie actor, is her dream man. So she has subscribed to a fan magazine that is running a series of articles about him. Here comes the postman with the latest installment right now.
Howdy, Mr. Mailman.
Good morning, Miss Canova. I got your magazine for you.
Oh, golly, thanks.
Oh, I see you like them movie magazines. But you know, honey, I go more for books. I'm reading one right now by... I said I'm reading one right now by Sally Rand.
Oh, a book by Sally Rand? What's the name of it?
Life with Feather. And you know something? It tickles me silly.
Why, Mr. Mailman, do you still have your mind on pretty girls?
Oh, yes, Cookie, but it just don't do me no good. I feel just like the coach of the Southern California football team.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, honey, the game is over, but I'm still dreaming of making passes. Toodaloo, chicken. I'll see you later, honey.
Judy, is there any mail for me this morning?
No, Aunt Aggie. But look, here's that article about Humphrey Cooper. Oh, boy, ain't he handsome?
Judy, all you talk about is Humphrey Cooper. Are you sure he's not just a passing fancy? Are you sure it's the real thing?
It must be, Aunt Ag. Every time I think about him, my toes curl up. Comes in mighty handy for opening Coca-Cola bottles.
Judy, a girl should think a long time before she marries anyone. Remember, marriage is a question of give and take.
Yeah, and the question is, where can I find a man who's willing to take what I got to give? Golly, I wished I knew what Humphrey was looking for in a girl.
Well, maybe you can find a hint in that magazine article.
Say, you're right, Aunt Aggie. Listen to what Humphrey says here on page 16 about his ideal girl.
The girl I marry must have the beauty of a Hedy Lamarr.
I ain't got that.
The charm of an Ingrid Bergman.
I ain't got that.
The sex appeal of Betty Grable.
Well, no, I ain't got that.
And the spirit and dash of a thoroughbred horse.
Put a saddle on my back and call me Trigger. Oh, look, Aunt Aggie, he even mentions my name in this article.
Well, what does he say, Judy?
Judy Canova has a few of the qualities of my ideal girl.
That's me, Aunt Aggie.
Everywhere I go, I see her face. Last night, I saw it as clearly as any picture. Nothing could have made me happier. Then the fog came in and her face was completely hidden. Nothing could have made me happier.
Say, that don't sound right, does it?
When I do marry, we'll settle down, and in time, I hope we will hear a little wail in the nursery.
A little wail? Shucks, I was hoping we'd have children.
Well,
Daddy, how could I dress a whale? Be blubbering all over the place. Can you imagine me singing Go to Sleepy Little Baby to a whale? Thing would slip out of my arms. I couldn't hold it.
Well, Judy, Humphrey certainly speaks highly of you in this article. I can't understand why he hasn't called since the night he took you to dinner at his mother's house.
Neither can I, Aunt Aggie. I sure watch my etiquette. That was the night you told me to watch Humphrey's mother and use the same fork she did.
Well, did you?
Well, sure, but I had to wait till her back was turned before I could grab it.
So time to pull back the curtain a bit on the Judy Canova Show in terms of how it is aired on Toontee Yesterday and when it is. It's one of the programs, among not very many, that I actually listen to the entire broadcast before it goes to air, mainly because of the content of the show. At many points in the program's history, over 10 years, it did cross a line in terms of racism and stereotypes of different peoples and cultures. Plainly speaking, there's just some shows that go a little too far, so I'd like to keep that one under the microscope before scheduling it. And this is actually part of a perpetual conversation I've had with listeners over the 16 or so years that I've been here hosting the Old Time Radio Show. What is appropriate, what is not, what is historically important to listen to, and also what might be frivolous, like some of the comedy on the Judy Canova Show. I always entertain these conversations because they are important to have and also pretty interesting when we start to get into the history and the snapshot of where the country was and what many people found funny 50, 60, and 70 years ago. So don't be afraid to let me know if you hear something objectionable on the air. We can talk about it. Maybe there's a good reason why it doesn't need to be on the air anymore, or one that is. Just email me. Let me know, mark@wrvo.org, and lay out the case so we can get into a discussion about it if you like. This is a big discussion, and barring taking up another hour of this podcast to do so, I just want to let you know that I am very mindful of what does go on the air and what reasons it goes on the air as well. A great example of this is Amos and Andy. Now, that's a show that there are people on different sides of the fence about, and that does not mean if you're racist or not, because select episodes of the Judy Canova Show that poke fun at Native Americans or Mexicans, this sort of thing, to me anyway, are far more offensive than the mangling of the English language on the Amos and Andy show. But you might notice that the show is not scheduled on Toontee Yesterday when we made a switch from the WRVO Playhouse to this incarnation. I think we're 7 years into it at this point. Just the title Amos and Andy itself seems to inspire a lot of heated conversation. And there are many reasons why the show was controversial back then and reasons why it was very popular too. So while this aspect of conversation in terms of broadcasting old-time radio shows is big, I'm doing my best to be mindful of what does go on the air and for what reasons. This Friday night on Toontee Yesterday, July 7th, it's Westerns. We'll hear the Screen Directors Playhouse adapt the movie The Gunfighter, then it's sitcoms for an hour from the Meet Millie series, and then a show that has not yet been heard on Toontee Yesterday called The Anderson Family. The Saturday night, it's another hour of sitcoms, The Magnificent Montague and My Friend Irma, then Crime at 11 from It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, and True Crime on the series Crime Classics.
Here comes his landlady. She gasped because Pierre was her favorite lodger, and he looked terrible. Awful, standing there in the doorway, swaying, before he fell on his face. Dead. Tonight, my report to you on Madeline Smith. Maid or murderess? Which?
Here are these shows this Friday, July 7th, and Saturday, July 8th, from 10 to midnight on Toontee Yesterday. Okay, that's it for now. Thanks a lot for listening to the TTY Dialer podcast. And please let me know if you are. Just drop me a line, mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. Any questions or conversations about old-time radio, this podcast, Toontee Yesterday, or anything you would like me to cover in a future podcast, let me know. Okay, until next week, I hope you enjoy the shows coming up from 10 to midnight on the air.